So last week, I spoke about the tabernacle and just about the passions of God and God's passion is for His glory. And we a little bit unpacked somewhat of what that glory, what it looks like, that there's the praise part, but there's this physical part of the glory of God that is just tangible. It's a pillar of fire by night. It's a cloud of smoke in the day. It's manna falling from the sky. It's a mountain that is consumed by a fire that looks like it's devastating. It's even a fire that's burning in the middle of the desert where Moses stood in front of the burning bush. The bush didn't burn away, but there was something real about this. Is not a fake fire. This is not a hologram or someone with a projector that's playing tricks on me. No, this is real. And there's something of the glory of God that I believe for each of us that we need to live in. And that physical part that God wants to come and He wants to create within us space that wherever we move, there's something of His presence that is walking with us. And I think it's usually just how it is that when you want to say something like that, sometimes the week that comes ahead or the time that comes ahead, you get challenged in that very area of, Rian, where's your life? Where you preach about the glory of God, you say that God wants to pour out this thing, and where's your life? And I want to be very vulnerable and very honest with you this morning, that this week past was probably one of the worst weeks I've had in a very long time, in just having to fight for that place of peace, and fight for that place of God. Where is your glory in this moment? And it's been difficult. It's now been a bit over a year of what we've been, a year and about three months that we've been leading the congregation. And just a quick note for our visitors. This might seem to you strange that we speak open like this, but this really is what it is. This is a family. And in family, we sometimes have great conversations. Sometimes we've got difficult conversations. Sometimes we've got real conversations where we really speak about how we feel and how things have made us felt. Even on Friday evening, when the married couples was looking at one another and they were asked them to look each other in the eyes. And for some, that was difficult. And to some degree this morning, I'm asking you to look me in the eyes. Like, look me in the eyes and see my heart. Because I'm trying to look all of you in the eyes as much as possible. But, because sometimes when there's things between us, or we've been fighting something, or we've been working through something, to look each other in the eyes sometimes is very difficult. It's like, you can see some of the couples, they're like hold hands, but it's like, they're looking, it's like their eyes are going like this. And as the night goes on and as they started speaking, the eyes started more going like this and more going like, okay. It's like you're warming up to the person. And this morning, and so this week, so this week has been a week of where, and I think this is, I'm completely off my notes, so just bear with me. I'm just giving you that thing, but really feeling it's needed for me to share this. This week has been a week of where definitely my leadership style, where everything has been up on a pedestal and going, what do we see? Now, for some, it might be yes, I hope not, but it's a very daunting thing. It's a daunting thing for your life to be on a pedestal and in a sense, or put in the middle of a room in a glass case, almost in a sense, and for anybody and everybody to be able to say, I don't like that, or I don't know if that's helpful, or I don't, and you've got to hear it. It's not about whether it's true or whether it's false. It's what is seen about the people around me. And it's been a week of where I've really had to wrestle with those things, and at times felt like I wanted to say to God, God, I want to run away from you. I don't know where to go. Because it's like when I'm in your presence, as much as it's this glorious place of we see your beauty, we see your glory, right now your beauty and your glory makes me want to run away. It makes me want to just not be here because it points things out in me that I know I'm sinful. I know I've fallen short of the glory of God. I know I need Jesus as my Savior. But at the same time, I know like I don't want to see these things. But I know it's needed for me to see them. I'm 34 years old. Now, if you know me and if you have spent some time with me, you would know that I would say, man, I feel like my life is done. I'm over the edge. Like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? There's not much left of it. But 34 is actually quite young. It's just how I feel sometimes. But the reality is this. There is really no book that describes to you. There's no book that can even give it in point form to you of how to lead a group of people. There's no book. Because no book can 100% capture each and every one of us that's sitting here this morning and where we've come from and the things that we're dealing with in our own hearts. It's really just something that you do by following God. And in this week, I was just saying, like, sure, God, as much as this is difficult and like processing things, I'm going like, I thank you that I'm not on my own. I thank you that I'm not alone. And that even when it feels like there's no one around me, I know that you are with me. To the point of where I want to run away from you, but I can't. And I want to quickly read you a scripture. In Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12. Sorry for my stutter there. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, Sheol is a part of hell. Okay? If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell into the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And on your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And I'm sharing this with you because I do feel like in me, whatever I'm going through, as the person that God has placed here to lead, it's something that each and every one of you will, to a measure, also have to go through. To a measure, you also have to deal with these things. And it might be a feeling that's already inside of you. And I want to say to you this morning that you are not alone. No matter what the things are that you have to deal with, the accusations or things that's been like spoken of you, maybe friends, maybe like you are not alone. God is with you first and foremost. And there's nowhere where you can run from Him. You can't. There's nowhere where you can say, okay, God, you can't get me here. Because around every side, we go a bit further down in the scripture. It says he hems me in. At the front, behind, on the sides. He brings me in. And for me this week, this has been something that's really been like a thing that I had to deal with. I want to say to you that I know in front of God and I know in front of the rest of the elders that they would say to you that my heart, as Rian, burns for each and every one of you that's sitting here. My heart is to see you walk in the destiny that God has for you. And there's not one thing that for me and together with the elders that we want to hold you back from what God has for you. And we were saying, God, use us. God, shape us. God, lead us, that we can lead the sheep, the flock that you've given us to take care of, that we can lead them as best as we can see and follow and hear your voice. Okay, I'm hearing between a couple of notes now. And so in this year, man, have I made mistakes? Yes, most definitely. Am I going to make mistakes? Most definitely. Is it because I hate you? Most definitely not. I got you there. No, it's we love you. See, because for me, my first place that I know that where I'm doing this from is from my love towards God. And I can't love God with everything inside of me if I hate any one of you. If I don't look at any one of you as higher and esteem you as higher than myself, I cannot love God with all my heart. And that's what Scripture tells us. Scripture says to us that if you hate your brother, you can't say that you love me. And so I want to encourage you with this. This morning I felt like, you know, I want to come in low, I want to come in slow. But just in worship, I felt like God just blowing some air into my lungs. Because I believe that there's an enemy out there. And the enemy would want us to be against one another. And we need to do everything that we can as a people of God, as the children of God, to say, God, we love you with everything that we have, and we're going to love our brothers and sisters around us with everything we've got to love them with. And we're going to walk together. And I felt God, just kind of like move me in a different direction. And so I want to quickly read to us out of 1 Peter 5. I know it's not there by you, Mike, but you quick. So 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 9. It says this. So I exhort the elders among you. That's exhorting means strongly encourage and compel. Okay? I exhort. So for all us as elders, God is exhorting us. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. I'm just going to stop there. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. Church, I want to say to you, we're not standing here because we feel like there's a hammer over our heads and we have to do this. I said to God this week, oh God, I don't know, because at the moment, at the time, it felt like, God, am I doing this because I feel like I'm forced to by you? And even in this morning, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm not doing this because you're forcing me. I'm doing this because when I look into your eyes, I see the flock of God. And I see God is saying, shepherd my people, feed my sheep. And that's why we are here. That's why each of the elders are sitting here. They're not sitting here and they're not giving themselves. And I want to say to you, not just because of me, but I want to say to you because of them, that giving themselves to you as a church to lead you is not always the easy thing. Andrew always uses this thing that sheep bite. Now, we're not saying that you're sheep and we're not saying that you're biting us. Okay, I've never been bitten by any of you that I know of or can see of. But there's something of a cost here. There's something of a price that they pay in order to lead you. But I want to encourage you, and this should give safety and bring a settledness in your heart. said they're doing it because they love God. They're doing it willingly. They're not doing it. Not one of these men, and I know that all of these men would say, even for me, we're not doing it because we want to create a ministry for ourselves. That we want to have fame and riches. There's no riches in this. We're doing it because we love God. And as we love God, we see your faces in his eyes. And that's important to hear. That's important to understand. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in charge, in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Now, even for me, being a young person, I've got a lot of zeal. I'm pretty certain that there's not one person here that's going to say, Rian is a little bit slow in the feet. I don't know. There's no English thing that can come to mind for me in that. Like, you're not going to say I'm the unpassionate kind of Mr. Grumpfish kind of there in the corner. No, I know you're going to say of me that I'm passionate. Am I maybe sometimes too passionate? Most probably. Most probably. I don't just have a fire inside of me that just wants to stand on the stage. I don't care about the stage. I don't care about even a position. I care about, I want to change the world for God with everything that I have. There's a passion inside me for who God is and for what he wants to do. Now, sometimes that does and probably will come across like, whoa, too much. But I want to encourage you. And again, this is where we find safety. Is that these elders that serve willingly, they also willingly speak into my life. They don't hold back. They're not people that go, yo, Rian, and we just lift Rian up and they just shower Tim Tams at my feet and just give me steak and just give me, like, they just worship and praise me. At night when I wake up, I see there's one of them cleaning my shoes and like, no, that doesn't happen. We still need to wash our own dishes, okay? No, they speak into my life. They hold me to account. When they say, hey, maybe you do come across too passionate, I've got to hear that. I know that they know my heart. I know that they know exactly why I'm saying it. But can it be harmful? Yes, most certainly. And I want to say to you, church, that for not one of us sitting here, and definitely not for me, and you've heard me say this from the day that I've started leading, that if I were to go, who was the most likely person? It would not have been me. I would not have chosen me. But for some reason, God chooses. And for some reason, as God chooses, I can't always go and say, I can say to God, and believe me, I did say this week to God, God, I don't know what's going on in your mind. Why would you choose me? There's maybe someone more beautiful, but there is definitely some other kind of characteristics that will work. Yeah. But God chooses. And these men around me, they speak into my life. And as difficult as it is to hear, I need to change. And so even in this year coming ahead, there's probably some things that you're going to go, Rian always would have done that, but now he's actually doing something different. And it might even caught you off by surprise. But you've just got to hear and hold on to this fact that God is in control. God is in control. He's not, as much as he's not going to leave me alone, he's not going to leave you alone. Let's go on in that. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, and is speaking about Jesus, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And he's speaking to the elders in this. So there's a crown for us to receive one day. Yay. Likewise, you who are younger. And the younger is not necessarily Lionel and Leon, you do need to listen to this, okay? I know they pride themselves in being the oldest, but this is actually speaking to all of you. This is like it's an authority that he's speaking about here. He says, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And that be subject means as you understand that they're not doing it out of selfish gain, as you understand they're not doing it because they are forced to do it, as you understand that they're not doing it because they're trying to build their own glory, they're trying to do all these things that would seem like the leadership of the world, as you see and know now that this is not why they do it, now subject yourself to them. Give yourself to them. Where is it? Likewise, you are younger. Be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, elders and younger, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. Now, for us, sometimes, the proud and the pride comes across of that better knowing. I've got more experience. You know, what does this 34-year-old know about marriages? He's only been married 10 years. It's small things where we go like, yo, I'll hear that out. I'll hear the elders out. But actually, I am the CEO of FNB or of Eskom. Wait, that's not going to help you. So just, I am the president of the country. Like, no. There's a different authority that God is placing within the church. And that authority is authority that is subject to King Jesus himself. And I want to say to you, church, that no matter who the leader is, if they are taking the children of God and leading them astray, that will not go unpunished or untouched. God loves his bride and his children extremely much. Much more than any of us can express or say to you. And so we've got to trust in this, that what God is giving you, that as we humble ourselves, all of us, and we love one another and we subject in the way that God prescribes it, that in that, that God will lead and God will position and God will put everyone in place that needs to be in place. But if you go against that, it says that God opposes the proud. He opposes it. It's a place, even this week, where I thought, okay, God, is there something in me that is opposing you? Because I don't want to be in that place. So now I'm verse 6, and here's what I want to get to. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So he's speaking to the elders. He's saying, you need to serve my people. This is how you need to do it. He's saying to everybody, humble yourselves towards one another. But then he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. See, in us looking at one another, in us going together with what God is doing, we still humble ourselves towards him. Because his hand is mighty. His hand is mighty, and it's the thing that each and every one of us would see that where God is leading. And in this, we need to give ourselves to him so that he can lead us. It says, he cares for you. Not just for the elders, or not just for the younger. No, no. He cares for you. And so the anxieties that we have, of what is this young leader going to make me do? What is this eldership team? No, no, no. Those anxieties, we give it to God and we say, God, I'm humbling myself here. I want you to lead me. I want you to give leadership over me that can lead me. well into your presence, well into the purposes that you've set out for me. And then here comes verse 8, and this is where I really feel for us that we need to be aware of this. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Sober-minded means that my mind is not influenced by anything. We know in Scripture that Scripture uses this analogy of being drunk with wine, and that you can't be drunk with wine and be filled with the Spirit. Because both of them are places of influence, things that's going to influence you. So if you're subject to the Spirit, what you will do is you will do according to the Spirit. If you're drunk in the Spirit, you will be doing what the Spirit compels you to do. If you're drunk with wine, you're going to naturally do what the wine is kind of opening up in you. We can all agree with that. I think we know more or less what that looks like. But see, both of them is a position of authority. And here I believe in saying being sober-minded, what he's actually saying here is don't actually be drunk with wine. Because when you're going to be drunk with wine, you're not going to be able to have control over your extremities, over your voice. I know that there's a time when I was unsaved, where we went out one night and I came home and it was in exams. I was not a good guy. Was in exam time and I came home. My parents tried to phone me. They actually, believe it or not, there wasn't cell phones yet back then. But so I'm a little bit older anyway, not that young. But there wasn't cell phones and I came home. And I was, in Afrikaans you say, dronk soos 'n tor, came home. And for everything inside of me, I thought, and I made a point of it, to speak clearly. Like I came into the house was dark, I couldn't really walk like I should walk. But I stood at my parents' room and I knew they were in bed. And I don't know why I thought they weren't awake. But I just tried to make sure that at least what I'm going to say now is going to be clear. I need to make sure of that. It was not. See, when we are drunk or under the influence of anything, we don't have control over what we say. You can try as hard as you want to say, hi, mom and dad, I am home and I am okay. But all they are hearing is, okay. See, in our midst, we all know that that's wrong. We all know that we're not gonna do that. But what we are gonna do is we're gonna say things that maybe our intention is good. Our intention is to be clear. Our intention is to be loving. But it's gonna come across divisive. You want to maybe say, hey, why is Rian not wanting to have me to have a Bible study? Yeah, he just wants to control everything. Or, why can't I just go into this relationship? Like they're just unfair with me. Or why do the elders want to know? Like, why do they want me to come and pray with when I want to buy a home? Like, I'm a man of my own thing. I can make my own decision. Yes, you can. God has placed you within a family to help you. To point out for you things that you probably wouldn't have seen just by yourself. The very same thing for me. That this week, where I felt like I have things pointed out, I knew at least that I was not alone. Because number one, if I was alone, I would have never seen it. I can just go on and do things the way I'm doing it without realizing where I'm maybe hurting someone unaware or not with ill intent, but maybe saying something that's not coming across as great as what it should. But I needed people around me to show me those things. And so I'm now jumping here, but just hear me in this. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. Seeking someone to devour. There's actually a study that was done with lions and cats and stuff. That they can see within a group of animals or a herd or whatever else, they can see the weakness. They know where to strike where it's the weakest point. So what they will try and do is they'll try and see if they can take the weakest point and kind of isolate that so that when they have it isolated, it's an easy kill. In each and every one of us, there's weaknesses. There's blind spots. There are things in our lives that we don't see, that we don't know. And it's not because our hearts are evil or that we are bad or we serve the devil. No, it's not like that. It's just it's there. We are human. We have fallen short of the glory of God. And our life here on earth is a process of where God continuously comes and sanctifies us. And sanctify meaning he makes us holy. Like, yes, we've been made right with God. There's a moment that we give our lives to Jesus and he's saying, you are made right with me. You've got access to me. But then in that moment, I don't all of a sudden, the day I got saved was not the day that I stopped being a racist, stopped swearing, stopped drinking, stopped wanting to do all kinds of things. No, it didn't stop in right in that moment. I like every single day I had to walk these things out and go like, no, that thing is it shows to the old life. No, that thing, it's not part of the kingdom. So there's a holy making process and each and every one of us are in that holy making process. So within each and every one of us, there's weakness. And the enemy, he wants to take us in this time where we've been experiencing something of God, he wants to come and run into the herd and start making us scatter so that there can be one little Rian, because I'm little and short, and like he might think I'm a baby, grab me. But see, if I'm going to pull away, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself even more vulnerable. So this week, where things have been spoken into my life, where it was all the feeling of wanting to just push away, where I just wanted to run away, even run away from God, God kept me hemmed in. I said, Rian, no. This is the time to push in. This is the time to be part of. And so I want to encourage us here this morning. That we become part of the group. It says, resist him, standing firm in your faith. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the whole world. Each and every one of us here this morning, there's things in our lives that we know is difficult. There's things in our lives that we know is challenging. And our experiences is that when these challenges come, when these feelings of hurt come, even coming from brothers and sisters within this, maybe a leader, maybe an elder, maybe something I even said, it makes us feeling like we want to push away. But I want to encourage you that even for me, the elders, all of us are going through the same thing. All of us have to face the same thing. And I believe for this time, for me as the one leading, and I was saying to Helen, I'm just being vulnerable here, so I'm sorry if that's too much for you. But on Friday night, when we had all the couples together, I'd prepared and I had my things prepared. But for the life of me, sitting at this table, I just wanted to sit at the table and eat my food. And just hope that people would love one another so much just to spend time without their kids that they would forget that we're going to have a Valentine's evening. Even this morning, waking up, couldn't sleep all night, going like, God, how am I going to do this? But I want to say this to you, that we're doing it eagerly. We're not doing it under compulsion. We're doing it because we love God. We know that God loves each and every one of you. He cares for you. And me and the rest of the elders, we're saying, God, here's our lives. Take it, use it to lead your people. So I want to encourage you and I want to ask you here this morning that as you're hearing it, that you don't go in your mind, ach, shame, Rian, we really like you. I'm sure you do. I'm likable. But that you look at your heart and say, God, am I part of this? Am I allowing the elders to lead me? Am I following Rian that you've placed in front of me? He's an Afrikaans, short Bloemfonteiner. It just doesn't, I don't understand that. And that's okay. But that you give it your heart. I say, God, I humble myself before you. And I don't want you to resist me. And because of that, I want to say, God, let these people, let them lead me. Because I want to again just encourage you that you're not alone. God doesn't want you to be alone. His desire for you is to be within the body and knitted together closely, running towards the thing that God has for all of us as a togetherness. I can't think of a word now. But as a corporate people, as a corporate's not a word, the word, as a body, thanks, whoever that was. God is wanting us to come together and walk together. And so I want to encourage you. This is not the Sunday morning preach that you're going to tomorrow morning go over all Facebook and just quote everything and just ready for this. But I really believe for us that this is a thing that we all need to hear. We all need to say, God, come and search my heart. And this is where I want to end off. I'm going to end off with this. I want to encourage you that you go in this week and that you go study Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 says this. Search me, O God. In view of these looking at my notes. I'm not the scripture. Sorry for that. Verse 24, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going to read it again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So maybe if we can close our eyes.